Listen to the words of this song. God sent his only son to save us. He died upon a cross for all our sin. I praise the precious name of Jesus. A Savior. This world be so full of heartache. Just like a knife. But the Bible says that the one who loves his life will lose it. And the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If any man serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If any man serves me, the Father will honor him. I serve a Savior. It's what we were made for. His love and grace we don't deserve. We will be as we serve a Savior, a Redeemer. God bless everyone in the service today. Thank you. Well, I don't know that I deserve applause. I love to sing. Sometimes I'll make up songs. Some of them are silly. And then there's times whenever that God gets my attention. And I just start singing praises to Him. And it's not for the purpose that others would hear it, but for the glory of God. And I pray that that's what we're here for today, is to glorify and to honor Him. We're going to go back. We had preached on his crucifixion and his resurrection and then his going back unto the Father. But we want to go back just in time. Before that he went to the cross, while that he was still traveling through that region, that area, and specifically in the town of Jericho. Now, this would be the last time that Jesus would perform miracles. There were others that would come along, but as far as his healing ministry is concerned, this would be one of the last times. And so he makes his way to Jericho, and he's going to go through Jericho, but he's going through a specific purpose. And if you have your Bible with you, turn with us to the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to start with the first verse. Luke 19, and starting with the first verse. And this, of course, concerns itself with Christ coming through Jericho, as we said. Luke, who wrote this, gathered all the information that he could. He was not there present whenever that Jesus walked in this world. But Luke wrote this in about 59 to 60 A.D. So Luke was not one of the 12 as such. He was actually, according to history, from Antioch. He was a physician. He was also a Greek. And he understood the mindset of the world in which that this gospel would go forth. Now, Jericho is one of those cities, if you remember in the Old Testament, how that when Joshua came across the Jordan, this was the first city that they were to conquer. This was the first city that they were to take. And you know the account, and I'll not go into it at this time, but when Joshua came to Jericho, he came to conquer. He came to bring this city into subjection. But when Christ came, he came to save. And the Bible teaches us today that this is the reason why that Christ came into the world. He said, I've not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So he passes through, starting with the first verse, he passes through Jericho and makes his way through the streets. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, he worked in that day and time for the IRS, not the Internal Revenue Service as we know it, but the Imperial Revenue Service, Rome. He worked for them. He was not Roman. He was actually Jewish. But to keep a riot from occurring whenever that the Romans would do anything or collect taxes, they would hire somebody like Zacchaeus, who would be willing to be a tax collector for them. Now, he made his living overcharging and a little bit of this under the table. But the Bible says he was very, very rich. And so he sought to see Jesus. He heard that Jesus was coming. He was and could not for the press because of his stature. And he ran before, climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that day, or pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he, that is Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If correctly read, this includes the first down through the 10th verses of the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Now, we want to combine two verses of Scripture for our theme and for our text today. The very first verse, where that it says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Notice it does not say that he sojourned in Jericho, because you see, he had set his face towards Jerusalem to achieve that the Father had sent him into the world to do. And so he was just passing through, so to speak. He was just on his way, cut through to Jerusalem, which was about 15 miles to the south and east of where Jericho was. The second verse that we want to read, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, that is a sycamore tree, he came to the place, and he saw him. That is, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And that would be our theme and our thought for today. And if you probably don't get anything else out of that Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. My friend, sinners don't have to clean themselves up and clean their act up and their behavior up in order for Jesus to save them. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He did not make a difference between people. And you know, it's the same thing in this day in which that we live. He's come to save my friend, the destitute. He's come to save even the unbeliever who's not had his heart opened under Christ Jesus today. He's come to save, my friend, the homeless. He's come to save the confused. He's come to save the depressed. He's come to save all men. In fact, the Bible says in one place that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. So after Jericho, he was going to make that way. He was going to open up the way for all of us, not just for that time, but for all of us. For all of us that are about 2,000 years since the time that Christ walked upon the earth. He would go and he would finish walking through Jericho, abiding with Zacchaeus. And the next stop would be Bethany, where that he would make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He would also meet with his disciples the last time in the upper room, and he would partake with them the last Passover. But at the same time, he would start something. We call it an ordinance, but I believe it's a memorial. He started a memorial in which that we remember. You see this in front on the communion table. Whenever that we come together, we do this in remembrance of him and the price that he paid for us today. He instituted that. He went to the cross. He paid the supreme sacrifice. I want you to understand today, there could have never been any other way for God to redeem mankind except that he would send his Son into the world, take on flesh, offer himself as a sacrifice, take our sins upon him, and then go to the grave and conquer death for every one of us. Sometimes whenever that I mention something about the cross, I'll make the mistake of leaving him on the cross. And I want you to know, he's not there anymore. He's not on the cross. He went and tasted of death for every man. He arose. He was resurrected. And you might say, well, where is he today? He's at the right hand of the throne of God. But at the time that this all took place, here was an opportunity for Zacchaeus to meet Jesus. Have you ever met Jesus? Have you ever looked into his word or listened to a sermon or felt his presence That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that I will be with you where there are two or three gathered together in my name. I'll be in the midst. And so Zacchaeus wanted to see him. He wanted to look upon him. He wanted perhaps an opportunity to speak to him. But you know, there was a crowd around him. Zacchaeus was a short man. I don't know if he was 6 foot like me, or if he was... No, I better not do that. Sorry, Lord. If he was as tall as I am, or if he was a lot smaller. You know, that's immaterial. But he felt small compared to the crowds. He felt small knowing that Jesus was passing that way. And all his consolation was that he might look upon Jesus and see him. This one that healed the sick, that raised the dead, that forgave sin, that cleansed the leper. My friend, that did all the things that he did to show that he was the Son of God. And so he had opportunity. And you know, this was the last time that perhaps Zacchaeus would have an opportunity to see Jesus. This may have been the last time he would look upon him. And you know, God gives opportunity, and sometimes we put that opportunity off. We say, well, you know, I'll do this later, or I'll think about God, you know, tomorrow. But you don't have that assurance of tomorrow. You don't have that assurance that Jesus will pass by your way. And we find that the Bible tells us, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a short time and is soon vanished away. And God gives opportunity today. And we find that the Bible teaches us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has and will appear unto all men. Now, what they do with it, what you do with it today, is entirely between you and God. I cannot look into an individual's heart and say, you are lost, you need to come and see God, or you're saved and you need to serve God more. I don't know. I'm just a mouthpiece. I was just called to declare His word. But I do know this much. There is a time in which that God deals with each and every individual. He gives them an opportunity to, as Zacchaeus, to see Him, to understand Him, to know of Him, to find Him as Savior and Lord. Every individual throughout the world. And I don't know how God will do it, but I believe the gospel will go unto all nations, all kindreds, and all tongues. And so Zacchaeus had just today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 says that today is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. If you will hear His voice and harden not your heart. And so while Zacchaeus was up in a tree, a sycamore tree at that, Christ stopped. And you might say, well, you know, must have been by accident. The crowd must have hindered him. But no, he knew exactly who it was up in that tree. And he knows you. And I want to tell you, he knew that Zacchaeus was a publican. Now, I didn't say Republican. I said publican, the tax collector. They were hated by the Jews because they were Jews themselves, hired by the Romans, as we said. But he knew that Zacchaeus felt himself insignificant. He knew that he was lost. He knew, he began to realize he was a sinner and that he needed something. He had, as we keep saying in this pulpit, he had this. He had a God-sized hole. And his riches couldn't help him. And all that he had accumulated couldn't help him. He'd been putting it on interest. You might say, how did you know that? He said, because he was going to restore to each and every individual fourfold. So he must have been a wise investor too. But it was ill-gotten, and it did not satisfy, and it did not fill this hole. And I want to tell you, nothing in this world that the world has to offer today can fill this hole. Even under the Christian today, you can't find peace in the world. The Bible says in one place that in that day they shall say, peace, peace, but there is no peace. There is no consolation. Someone will say, well, I didn't come here for a morbid sermon. But I want you to know, I say this to you today because there's only one Prince of Peace. There's only one that can give assurance when you lay your head down on your pillow at night. Whether you're saved, whether you're lost, there's only one that can give that void, the filling that it needs with God's anointing and God's presence. He had wealth, but he did not have the wealth of God. He had riches, but he did not have the riches of God's grace. He had all of these things. And Jesus knew that. Now, someone will probably look at this and say, well, you know, why would Jesus have something to do with an individual like that? I'm sure there were Pharisees there. In fact, I'd almost guarantee that they were standing around looking at this. Well, look at that. He's going into the house of a sinner. What other place should he go to? What other venue should he park himself in and sit down and commune together and to give unto Zacchaeus eternal life? So we find that Zacchaeus could find no peace whatsoever, find no consolation. But here was the Prince of Peace. Here was the one who was the consolation. Here was the one that's the mediator between God and between man. And this is the only way that an individual can come unto God. And I want to give you this scripture found over in Timothy. It says, there is one God, only you, Lord, the Lord God Jehovah, no one else. King of kings, Lord of lords, there is one God, creator of all. And there's one mediator between him and between mankind, the man Christ Jesus. And I want you to know today that you don't need to go through any other religious entity today to get to God. Just through Jesus. Just through him alone. I heard a sermon back years and years ago when we lived in Nashville, or lived outside of Nashville. And if you know me, you know I like to play with radios, and I drive my wife crazy because I'll get on there and twist the dial nearly off, finding this and listening to this and then jumping over to this. But I happened to, on, while we were living there, I happened upon a live service. It was being broadcast. I don't know if it was in Nashville or where, but it was a black preacher that was talking about basically this same thing that we're speaking about today. And I never will forget the words that he said. He said, if you want it, speaking of salvation, you can get it. You can have it. The question is, how bad do you want it? How bad, and what will you do? And how will you come before God? And we call that conviction. We call that, my friend, the not necessarily condemnation, but conviction, being convinced that you're a sinner and being convinced that you need a Savior. And I never will forget him saying that. And I thought, how true. I hope anyone else listening to that was lost would take heed to what he said in that service. But you know, the Bible tells us that if you really, truly desire him and want him, whether lost or whether saved, don't let anything stand in your way of finding him if you're lost, or communing with him, walking with him, talking with him, being in fellowship with him. Don't let anything stand in your way. What were some of the things that stood in Zacchaeus' way? Well, the fact that he was short, the fact he was up in a tree, the fact that there was a crowd around Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, there was always a crowd, and sometimes it was difficult to get to him. But you see, Zacchaeus didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came to him. Thanks be unto God, he comes to us through the power of the gospel, through the Holy Spirit. He'll come and he'll knock at the heart's door. Or if we're unsure about something, if we're saved and we don't know where to turn or what to do, I want to tell you, he's all sufficient for everything in our lives today. And if he isn't today, then there's no hope for anyone. But thanks be unto God. We listened to a song on the way here called Jesus is the Answer. That sounds rather simplistic, doesn't it? But that's what the truth of the gospel is today. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the only answer today. So Zacchaeus did something that, my friend, no one else would have imagined. A rich tax collector who had all this wealth and all this going for him today. When Jesus spoke to him, and I want to interject this. Jesus knows your name. He speaks your name. Sometimes when that fleeting thought comes through your mind about the Lord or about God, that's Jesus saying, Carolyn, let's have a talk. Sit down and tell me your troubles. Ron, I've got the answer. And you might say, brother, you're kind of beside yourself, aren't you? You say Jesus can help us with anything. I would have lost these long time ago if I didn't depend upon the grace of God helping me to keep them where they need to be. Because this one, if it's lost, will never be replaced. But he knows all about us today. And you know, even in spite of that, in spite of our faults, in spite of our sins, in spite of our misgivings and things like that, he still loves us. He still called unto Zacchaeus. And sometime, if you're lost here today, I don't know, maybe you've got friends that are lost. Take this message to them. That one day Jesus will call. And one day he'll look up, or he'll look down, or he'll look to the side, or he'll look you straight in the eye and say, Paul, I want to abide with you. I want you to open the door of your heart. I want you to get all the stuff out of the way. And I want to come and I want to commune with you. Now, I want to tell you, and you might think I'm radical, but I love to commune with the Lord. I love to sit down. And there are times I sit down with my Bible and I'll ask him, Lord, will you open this to me? You're not ready for it. Go over to this. Read this. You might say, Paul, your learning has made you mad. It's made you crazy. Well, I may be crazy, but I'm saved and crazy. And I want you to know walking with him is so sweet, and it's a reality today. And it was the same thing for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus forgot about what people thought of him. He forgot about the fact that they hated him in Jericho. He forgot about the fact that he had amassed all this wealth, probably in a dishonest way, while working for the enemies of Israel. And so in climbing a tree, he had to climb a tree in order to see, but then he had to come down. And God asked that of you, to take a step of faith. No, don't jump out of a tree. And I want to say this also. It wasn't climbing down out of the tree that saved Zacchaeus. It was who was at the bottom of the tree. That's who saved him. And when he responded unto him today, my friend, I want you to know that Jesus, before all those people, something had happened unto Zacchaeus. Something happened either on his way down when he got there, I don't know. But I do know this, it changed him. And the Bible tells us over in one place, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so while that he came face to face, eye to eye with a Savior, he began to confess unto him all that he had done. He said, if I've cheated anyone, He said, I will restore it fourfold, and I'll give back that I got by an ill-gotten means. And you know what Jesus said about it? Now I believe in a change of heart, but I believe in a change of the walk that you have after that you're saved. And I want you to realize that if you're out of the way as a child of God, get back in the way. Get back in that way. And I want you to realize that Savior that saved your soul will walk with you. He'll say, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. Come on. Let's commune together. He's a forgiving Savior today. He is so forgiving that while that He was on the cross, He prayed this about His enemies that had pierced Him, that had nailed Him, that had thrust a spear in His side. He prayed this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He taught forgiveness today, and He's the prime example of it. He's the prime example of it today. And so we find that He did something that was so unusual. He didn't cower behind a branch in a sycamore tree. I don't know if that was a sycamore tree like we see out here. I can imagine if it was a sycamore like we see by streams and rivers, boy, that was a hard thing to climb. I mean, I've tried as a kid, and I never could do it. But it might have been a little bit different. Might have been a different type of sycamore tree. I don't know. But Zacchaeus came down. He left the branch. He left the comfort of that tree. He came down to where that Jesus was, and he confessed before Him, Jesus, something has happened. Something has happened. I don't love the things that I used to love. I don't care for the wealth. I don't care. And my friend, when you find Jesus today, that's how it is in your heart. No, He doesn't ask you to become a pauper, but He does ask you today to take the idol out from before you and put Him before you and follow Him. And so Jesus made a declaration that just startled everybody. Boy, I bet those Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, little whiffs of smoke coming out of their ears. Why, on one occasion they said to Jesus, why, we be Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage unto anyone. That's not how Pharisees sound. I'm just adding a little drama to it. But you know what Jesus did? He said, this day salvation has come to this house. I want to tell you, it's sweet whenever salvation comes into this house and redeems, and you walk in it, and you know that you've been redeemed, and you know that you have a friend in Him, and you know that no matter what takes place, He will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And then this was the crowning part of it. I can just imagine Caiaphas and so on and so forth probably got a little upset. Salvation has come unto this house, Jesus said, in so much as He is a son of Abraham. I bet they rent their clothes, and I bet they threw dust in the air, and they did everything to show their indignation, but that did not matter. And don't let anybody cast doubt upon your salvation. If you've been saved, He saved you, not them. And I never judge people's salvation. I never judge whether they've been or not. That's between them and God. They tell me they've been saved. Fine, great. Let's all pray together. But He declared Him to be a son of Abraham. Well, Abraham was some 3,000 years in the past. He's the one that started our nation and everything. But Abraham was a man who walked by faith. And the Bible says in one place, one day God brought him out into the open air. And He said, if you can number the stars that are up there, Abraham, that is what I will do with your seed. I'll multiply them as the stars in heaven. And that moment, God, the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and God imputed it unto him for righteousness. When you believe with all of your heart, though you're a sinner, though you're lost, he imputes the righteousness of Christ unto you today. Someday, Jesus will finish his journey here upon this earth through the preaching of the gospel, through everything that we do and that we try to put forth in his name. One day it will come to an end. That's why it says today is the day of salvation. If you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, take this message to a neighbor. Take this message to a friend, someone who may be lost, someone who may not know Jesus, and tell them about him. And tell them about how that he came to your tree and how that he called you out of that tree. He didn't give Zacchaeus enough time to make a treehouse up there. But he called him and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to abide with you. And I can say today, he will abide with whosoever will. Let him come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever will come and eat of this bread that I give, the bread that has come down from heaven, that will sustain him forevermore. Whosoever will to have eternal life through me. My friend, Jesus is the answer, as the song says. He's the answer. He's the only answer today.